Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 19 years we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. We praise the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for the radio station, for all of the support, for the prayers, and most of all for you, the listener. If you're here today for the first time, we welcome you, invite you to come back each and every Sunday. And so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about fasting as a weapon of our warfare. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we've been talking about weapons of our warfare. And we started with prayer, and then Bible study, the fellowship of the saints, praise, and then today number 5 is fasting. So we'll take up this subject here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 58. We're going to start there in the Old Testament today. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there in that listening audience. Today we're going to be talking about fasting as a weapon of our warfare. And this is number 5, as before the prayer time. This is number 5 in our list of weapons. And before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya today? We've been having rains again, which is a bit unusual for this time of year. Normally it's hot and dry, but we'll take the rain. They've been a great blessing. And so we've been planting lots of vegetables for the children. We have all the children in school except for 2 little boys, Mikey and Hillary. They're 2 years old, and so they're in the home, and so they bounce around out there every day, and I go out to see them every day, do the work at the children's home. And so we're thankful for them, thankful for all the support to get the children in school. We're supporting about 25 to 30 children altogether in schools, all the way up to Form 4, the senior in high school. So that is a great blessing for them and us as well. We have a street ministry started with street boys here in Mumias. We're feeding them every week. And so that's a bit of a new thing for us. There's about 20 or 25 of them that hang around in the main streets of Mumias. They sniff a lot of glue. They do a little bit of menial work, carrying loads for people, for business people. And so we are trying to minister to them, show them the love of Jesus, feed them a good meal every week. And so pray about that. Maybe that's something you would like to support as you think about Gather the Outcast ministry. Well, today we're going to be talking about fasting as a weapon of our warfare. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 58, and we're going to start in verse 5. And if you're not familiar with fasting, your first reaction when people bring up fasting is probably to think that I don't want to do that because I'm going to miss my bacon and eggs, and I'm going to miss my jelly roll or cinnamon roll or whatever. And so it's a bit of an unnatural thing to want to purposely fast. It's a bit of an unnatural thing to want to set aside your time to pray and read God's word, read the Bible, and not indulge in your normal food routine, not indulge in your normal pattern of eating. And so it can disrupt your life a little bit. It can disrupt your thinking, can disrupt your future plans. And so fasting is very important for that reason, is because when you set aside your time to seek the Lord in fasting, set aside your time, and not only your time, but your desire to eat. If you do that, then you're going to be changed in some way. And this is a powerful tool. I'm not suggesting that you fast to a point of deterioration of your body or a point of succumbing to some serious illnesses. If you've never fasted before, I would suggest you just start with a one-day fast, maybe even a one-meal fast if you have diabetes or some type of illness that or infirmity that causes you to be cautious about fasting, start with just a one meal fast, then maybe go on to one day. Eventually you can work up to 3 days and maybe 5 days or a longer fast. But in any case, get your doctor's approval if you have medical conditions. And sometimes your doctor's not going to okay it. Sometimes you just have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Start slow and then work your way up to a good maybe 3 day fast eventually. But the importance of fasting and the point of fasting is to set aside your daily routine and to seek the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and to cry out to Him, put Him first in your life on any particular day or through any particular meal, and just focus on Him in prayer, focus on Him in Bible study, focus on Him in sitting in the presence of the Lord. And when you're not consumed with fixing food or seeking food or going to the restaurant to eat food or sharing your meal, when you're not consumed with that and preoccupied with that, you can really get focused and get into that spiritual level. You're feeding your spirit body and not so much your material body or your natural body. You're feeding your spiritual body with spiritual food, and that is the blessing and the importance of fasting. Well, if you've never read much about fasting in the Bible, I suggest you look at Isaiah 58. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Read the whole chapter when you have time and just meditate on it. It's the most comprehensive chapter in the whole Bible, and it's comprehensive because it takes in the ideology of fasting, the theology of fasting, but also it takes in the practical aspects of fasting. And there are many situations in the Bible, where fasting is brought into the scene, brought into the picture. We have Moses up on the Mount Horeb where he received the Ten Commandments. He fasted several times, three times, I believe, for 40 days each time. And we have Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 at the beginning of his ministry. He fasts for 40 days. We have Queen Esther in the Old Testament. When she goes before the king, she fasts for the survival, you might say, or standing in the gap and intercession for the children of Israel. And we have fasting all through the Bible. Apostle Paul fasts in Acts chapter 13 before he is sent out in ministry. And so we have fasting all through the Bible. So it is a tool and a warfare tool, a weapon that is used against the enemy and to propel us into a higher place in the kingdom of God. And so take it seriously. Pray about it. Even if you've never done it before, pray about it. Maybe God wants to lead you into a fast. As I said, start slow, maybe it's 1 day, and then you can work up to doing a more serious fast. And pray about it. Your part in fasting, pray about your part in what the Lord wants to do with you. And most of the time when people fast, they have a burden on their heart, either for their family or for their church, for their nation, maybe for their own ministry. And that burden in your heart will start to build, it'll start to swell, and then at some point you'll say, I want to get deeper, I want to dive deeper into this burden and get closer to the Lord. And that's when you'll feel the unction, you'll feel the urge, and be compelled to fast, to take yourself and let the Lord take you to a closer, more intimate place with Him as you fast and as you pray. So we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5. And this is Isaiah. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul?" And affliction is another word in the Old Testament used quite commonly to describe fasting, because it is truly affliction. You're purposely afflicting your soul. You're purposely denying yourself something that is very joyful and very natural to you, that is to feed your body. And so when you afflict yourself, that is a good description of fasting. "Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes, Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Then in verse 6, same question again. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Well, the reason Isaiah talks about here, about loosing the bonds of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens, is because when you fast, you come face to face with sometimes demons. You come face to face with strongholds. You come face to face with habits in your life that the Lord wants to break. Sometimes the devil has strongholds in your life, and they are manifested by demonic activity in your life. They're promoted and conditioned and strengthened by demonic activity in your life. And when you fast, you change your focus off of those things, and you change your focus on manifesting those things, and you change your focus to the Lord. And so you come face to face with the strongholds. You come face to face with the things in your life, the habits in your life, and also you have to deal with your thoughts as they come up in your mind. Every single thought, you have to deal with it. And you learn through fasting to cry out to the Lord. You learn through fasting to take every thought captive, just as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. You learn to take every thought captive and pull it down. Thoughts that rise up in your mind that go against the knowledge of Jesus Christ and attempt to tear down the kingdom of God in your mind and in your life, you take those thoughts captive, you pull them down, and as you fast, your focus comes down to your spiritual life, your spirit as it wants to communicate with God. And so you fast to strengthen that spiritual man, not your natural man, not your material man, not the man that wants to eat, not the man that wants to watch TV, but you strengthen that spirit man that wants to communicate with God. You give it as much food as you can through prayer and through Bible study and through just sitting in the presence of God, enjoying the presence of God in presence of Jesus. And so the bonds of wickedness that are holding you, the bonds of wickedness that may be holding you in a habit or some kind of a stronghold that tears you down. It might even be gluttony. That's the main reason a lot of people need to fast, is because they're so focused on food, they can't focus on anything else. Before they finish one meal, they're already thinking about the next. And you can look at Americans especially. You don't see it too much here in Kenya. You see it some in Nairobi, some of the more prosperous cities, that people are obese, people eat too much, they're stuffing their bodies, they're stuffing their natural bodies to try to quench the Holy Spirit, whatever God is trying to do in their life, they're quenching it with food, and so gluttony becomes a big problem. And so one good reason to fast is to break the stronghold of gluttony, that obsession with eating in your life. And you can do that even to fast one meal and focus on prayer, focus on Bible study, focus on speaking to the Lord. Even to fast one meal will be very beneficial for you in helping to break strongholds of compulsive eating. And so Isaiah says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. I came to set the captives free. I came to break every yoke. And so we know that is in Isaiah 61. We know that Jesus came to break the chains off of people. He came to break the chains off of you. He came to break the chains off of me. And one of the great tools that he has given us to do that is through fasting. If you're having any kind of addictions in your life, with drugs, with smoking pot, with compulsive eating, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's just surfing the internet 12 hours a day. When you fast and you pray, the bonds of wickedness, the chains that are holding you to compulsive habits and destructive habits, those bonds will be broken and you will be set free. So to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. and that you break every yoke. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. I came to release those who are in prison out of their prison cells. He's not talking necessarily about natural prisons, that the doors are going to fly open. He's talking about the prisons of your mind, the prisons of your soul, the prisons of your spirit. He wants to see you walking in freedom. Those things that have been established in your life by the devil, by the demons, reinforced by the demons, he wants to see you break free from those and break the yoke of demonic activity off of your life and take the yoke of Jesus upon you. And then in verse 7, Isaiah goes on to say, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Beloved, when you start to fast, you, that in a literal sense, that food that you would have eaten at that meal, it can go to somebody else. You're not necessarily going to be in charge of putting it on somebody else's plate or putting it in somebody's hand, but that bread can go to somebody else. And so if many people fast in a day, there will be more food for the hungry. There'll be more food for those in poverty. And I mentioned in my talking about the Kenya ministry, we're starting to deal with street children. Well, we've dealt with them for many years, but we're starting to do a weekly feeding program with the street children. And these are mostly boys. The girls disappear, as you can imagine. These are mostly boys, and many of them are sniffing glue, and we're trying to feed them, get their minds back into them, get their minds restored, and hopefully eventually maybe we can find some work for them, maybe get them back in school. And so we're sharing our bread with the hungry, and God will give you strategies to do that. One way you can do that is just support ministries like ours, like Gather the Outcast Ministry here in Kenya. We could do much more if we had more money to work with. We buy rice, we buy chapati flour, buy chapatis, beans, all that kind of stuff. And so if we have more money, we can deal with more children, feed more people. In addition, we have the Children's Fun Day every other week, every other Saturday on Saturday morning at our children's home. And we invite in all the children in the area of Makunda Village. So we've been having anywhere from 100 to 150 children come in every other Saturday. And so we feed them also. We feed them a good meal of beans and rice or chapati. And then we teach them Bible stories. And so there's many ways that you can share your bread with the hungry. And you will be blessed, they will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will receive a blessing. And back to Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? Well, that's what we've done. We've got children at the children's home, and we've got children that we're dealing with on the street here. And so we're bringing to our house the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, some of these children on the street, they run around naked. They don't have proper clothing, and even if they have it, sometimes they take it off and throw it away. And so when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You don't hide yourself from your own people. And so that is God's will, that we look to these people, look to take care of them, look to help them out of their desperate situation. And so we have nearly a capacity house at the children's home. We have about 23 or 24 children staying there, but we could take up to about 30 there. But many, many children in Africa, all over Africa, not just Kenya, many, many children are in desperate straits. They're living on the streets. They don't have good food to eat. They don't have good shelter. And so this is God's plan for us here, is to help as many children as we can. Well, then Isaiah goes on in verse 8, and he starts talking about how you're going to be blessed when you fast, how the healing is going to be coming into your life when you fast. And when you cry out to God in this way, God sees your affliction, he sees your pain, he sees your sacrifice, and then your healing will come. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. then the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, verse 9, you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. So this is the culmination of a day or two or three of fasting. The Lord will say, here I am. And you know, that is our desire as believers. We're constantly seeking the Lord, trying to come closer to the Lord, trying to develop a walk with the Lord that is more intimate, more passionate, with more zeal, more love, not only for our love for the Lord and our desire to be with him, but also our love for people, our love to take care of people, to bless other people with the money that we have, with the talent and the resources, all the things that the Lord has given us. And so when you cry out to the Lord, 58 verse 9, when you cry out, when you call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, in other words, stop accusing other people, stop criticizing other people, the pointing of the finger, not speaking wickedness, and if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Well, we have a beautiful spring out there at the children's home. We've got a 4-acre parcel of land, well, now 5 acres parcel of land with connected to the children's home. And so we have a big spring out there. It runs about 20,000 gallons a day. This time of year, sometimes even up to 25, 30,000 gallons a day in the wet season. And so we have a beautiful spring of water. And God saying here in this passage through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your soul in the dry places. In other words, he's going to water your soul. He will strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. We share that spring water with the villagers there in Makunda Village. We have a gate right next to the spring, and ladies can come in, men can come in. We have people that come there to get water for their livestock. We have people that come to do laundry there. We have ladies that come to bring their jerry cans, and they fill them up, put them on their head. You've seen many pictures of African ladies carrying water and carrying things on their head. And so we have that going on all day long. We want to bless the people with water that does not fail. We want to bless the people with beautiful spring water that is good for drinking and good for giving to the livestock. And so that is God's plan for your life. And one of the things that I enjoy so much when I go to the children's home, I go down to that spring every time I'm there and drink from that spring. It just nourishes me. It strengthens me. It makes me realize how much God has blessed us here, not only giving us a good piece of land and a good ministry here, but also this abundant water. And that's why we call the children's home Living Water Children's Home, and the ministry Living Water Outreach Ministries, because long ago the Lord spoke to us about living water. Jesus said, I am the living water. When you drink of me, you will never thirst again. And so we want to be that to other people in the name of Jesus. We want to be their living water in the natural and in the spiritual realm as well. And so in verse 12, I'm going to wrap up here in verse 12, Isaiah says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. In other words, he's saying you're going to rebuild those places that have been destroyed in your life and in the lives of others. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called a repairer of the breach. Well, this is a prophetic passage speaking about Jesus Christ, the repairer of the breach. Jesus can repair the damage done in your life. He can restore everything the devil has stolen from you. He can raise up the age-old foundations. He can take you to the ancient paths. And so he can restore to you whatever the devil has taken from you. However the devil has destroyed your body, however the devil has destroyed your mind, destroyed your confidence, destroyed your purpose in life, the Lord can restore it. He is the repairer of the breach. He is the restorer of streets in which to dwell. And so when you give your life over to Jesus, when you seek him with prayer and fasting and just sitting in his presence and enjoying the presence of the Lord, enjoying his input and his blessing over your life, the shelter of his wings over your life, you're going to see the streets in which you dwell. You're going to see them repaired. You're going to see the potholes filled up. You're going to see the broken places mended. And so we thank the Lord that fasting is a powerful way to restore everything that the devil has taken from us. Well, if you've never fasted, I encourage you to try it. I encourage you to do it. Get you a glass of water. Get your Bible or some other devotional material. Maybe you want to get your journal so that you can do some writing. And when the Lord speaks to you, you can write it down. Maybe the Lord will speak to you and the Holy Spirit will speak to you in a way that he's never spoken to you before. But get that stuff together and get a purpose for your fast. Write down what is the point of your fast. What do you intend to pray about? What do you intend to bring before the Lord? What do you intend to see happen in your own life? And your light will dawn in the darkness, and your darkness will be like the noonday, and the Lord will guide you into a place. Maybe it's a place of ministry. He'll guide you. Maybe your praying and fasting will be to help you get launched into a place of ministry. God can do that. And when Jesus went into ministry in Matthew chapter 4, the first thing he did, he went up into the wilderness and he fasted and he prayed for 40 days. And the Lord then launched him into his earthly ministry. Pray about it. God will give you direction. Just know that it's a powerful weapon in your arsenal to deal with the devil in your life. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for this ministry. We invite you to be a part of it. We invite you to sit down, let us know you're listening, communicate with us that you want to support this ministry, write us out a check. Maybe you want to email me if you have prayer requests at pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let us know you're listening, and we would be happy to communicate with you. If you want to make a decision to accept the Lord, we will be there to pray with you over that. Let us know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.